In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
If you own a business, do you just hire an employee and then never talk to them ever again? Never check in, never check their work, just let them go? Of course not. For all you know, they're emptying the till while they're supposed to be working. I mention that because this coming week, the legislature is back in business. These are your employees, and instead of working for you, they are busily emptying the till because they think you're not watching. And even if you are, they're betting on you not saying anything. Governor Kate Brown and the Salem Democrats want to take $1 billion out of Oregon's economy and enrich themselves and their political organizations. How? By ramming through a tax on carbon, a cap-and-trade system that will punish the wrong, in their opinion, the wrong kinds of businesses and give that money to their political allies. Well, enough is enough. You need to say something, and you need to say it loudly. This Thursday, February 6th, is your chance to do just that. The Timber Unity Rally at the steps of the Capitol building. On today's show, we'll be talking about that, and you're going to hear the true contempt that these elected Democrats have for people in rural areas. And then in the second half of the show, you'll also get some great information that you can use to push back against climate change and CO2 from Chuck Weiss, one of the best global warming debunkers out there. You know, what's really nonsensical about the carbon debate is that pretty much the entirety of rural areas is about carbon sequestration and removing CO2 from the air, exactly what politicians and so-called environmentalists claim they want. You plant trees for timber, which takes CO2 out of the air. You plant crops, which take more CO2 out of the air. When crops are harvested, stems and unusable parts are tilled back into the soil. Meanwhile, urban areas put CO2 into the air. Pollutants, power plants, traffic, and much more, not to mention hot air from politicians. If anyone's going to do any taxing on carbon, rural areas should be able to tax cities for services rendered. I'd like to welcome now Angelita Sanchez. She's a spokeswoman for Timber Unity. Angelita, thanks for joining us again.
I am so happy to have the opportunity to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're really excited to talk to you. Big event is coming up next Thursday. This is February 6th. We'll have more details about that in a little bit. But for those who missed our show last time or are hearing about Timber Unity for the very first time, tell our audience again a little bit about your group, what you guys do, and really what you hope to accomplish.
We were a group of log truck drivers, construction workers who got wind of this cap and trade bill that they were trying to pass last year during the summer. And once we realized our fuel was going to go up and our utilities were going to go up and our food was going to go up and they were going to shut logging down, a bunch of us just got really frustrated that we weren't being heard and made 3 convoys around the Capitol and helped the Oregon 11 walk out and essentially stopped that House Bill 2020 last year. But now we heard that they're coming back in the short session. So we're trying to rally our troops again to make another statement to say, at least let us vote. We want to be heard.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're going to have more on the rally itself in our third segment. But, you know, since we last talked, something that you had said last time has just been absolutely ringing in my ears. And that was what Senate President Peter Courtney told members of Timber Unity the very first time around. And he said, you rural people just have to realize your way of life is at an end. And I am still just absolutely floored by that. And I'm only hearing it secondhand. I can't imagine what that must have been like to have him say that to your face.
It was shocking. It was unexpected. We had no idea that the people who work in that office thought about us in that type of way. Hmm. And for him to just address us face to face was really bold. But that really is what started our journey to push back hard. Because like I said last time, the first convoy, I don't know Senator Herman's last name, so I apologize. But the Republican Senate leader, Senator Herman, brought President Peter Courtney of the Senate out to address us. And sure as heck, that was his words. I don't know what to tell you guys. Your rural way of life is over. You're just going to have to move to town and get green jobs.
Wow.
And so when he said that, he also said he was very uncomfortable and that he had to go back inside because all of our eyes were staring right through him.
Oh, I bet.
We offered to take him on a log truck ride, and he said he'd probably never come back from it, and he walked away. So,
wow.
That being said, that is the first thing that really sparked this firestorm of working Oregonians to push back against this oppressive regulation. He flat out told us our rural way of life is over, and we are like, says who? So, that's what started this journey. We actually went to the Ways and Means Committee and watched him remove Betsy Johnson and put himself into her position to put a yes vote so it could pass through the next process. Hmm. She was a no vote. It would have died in the Ways and Means that day. And so prior to him coming out to speak with us, he already knew that he was going to pull that card, and he came out and spoke to us. We then went into the Ways and Means Committee, and we watched what he did, and I cried. Grown men cried. It was the most shocking thing that we had ever seen, and that's really what empowered us to push back against this.
Oh, yeah.
Mad enough to push back against it.
Well, absolutely. You know, the notion of pulling Betsy Johnson, who is a normal, I think, common sense Democrat. She really is. I've really admired some of the work that she does. I don't always agree with her, but she at least has common sense there. And she certainly seems to understand the rural areas. And I think that's one of the things that really is surprising coming from Peter Courtney. If you look at his district, he has rural area within his district. And so I'm just shocked that that's what he thinks. I mean, aside from the personal attack on rural areas from someone who apparently has no clue what life in a rural area is, I mean, it's the sheer stupidity of such a thing. I mean, where does he think food comes from? Or gravel for buildings and roads and cements? You know, and cement for buildings, keep talking about doing infrastructure. Where does he think all of that comes from?
Well, and let alone cement is a huge carbon producer. So.
Sure.
I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know why they're thinking it. I'm not a politician. I don't know what goes through their head or the process, but it was a direct attack against rural Oregonians and working class and all these loggers that were out there. And so we just forged ahead to try to push back. It doesn't make any sense. And so we're trying to figure out why, and we still don't have the answers why. There's some climate emergency, supposedly, but we know that a tax is not going to fix it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, 9,000 in the last 10,000 years have been warmer than they are today. So unless you're willing to say that Neanderthals were driving SUVs off to the Mastodon hunts, I'm sorry, carbon dioxide and what we're doing today is not affecting climate. All right, let's go and take a break there. Come back, we'll have more with Angelita Sanchez, a spokeswoman for Timber Unity. If you'd like to visit their website, head to timberunityconvoy.com. We'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com as well. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Angelita Sanchez. She is a spokeswoman for Timber Unity. The rally is this Thursday, February 6th. It starts at around 10 a.m. Trucks are being assembled at either the Salem Fairgrounds or west of Salem over the Polk County Fairgrounds on 99W, just south of Rickreall. And you can find out more by heading to Timber Unity Convoy, or you can head to their Facebook page. We'll link all of that up on iSpyRadio.com. And Angelita, the more we talk about this Timber Unity rally coming up, the more exciting I think it gets. Of course, you are facing blowback because of your success last year by derailing the 2020, by supporting the Oregon 11 Republicans that walked out of the Senate. The Democrats in Salem now think that they have a solution. Carbon taxes will only apply to people in large cities for now. And then it will eventually apply to people in rural areas. So is this an acceptable compromise of Timber Unity, eventually taxed for carbon?
Absolutely not acceptable. We are not prepared to make any negotiations on this carbon tax. They are trying to say that the rural areas won't feel the effects of this, but what they're not saying is the fuel suppliers and the food suppliers and whatever else suppliers, all that stuff comes from the port of Portland, and there's not really a good way to track where it's going. So they're still just going to pass the cost on to us.
Hmm. Well, and of course, the other problem, as I said in the last segment there, is that 9,000 of the last 10,000 years have been warmer. And all of this climate change nonsense starts from the premise that carbon is bad. Carbon is not bad. All forms of life are carbon. Plants need CO2, and CO2 does not cause global warming because, as I said, 9,000 the last 10,000 years have been warmer. So it can't be doing, it can't be anything that we're doing today. But is Timber Unity as a group, are you guys getting advice and input from sensible scientists who have not bought into the global warming scaremongering?
I actually have spoken with a couple scientists personally. I know that the science isn't totally figured out yet. They're still trying to go back and forth and do whatever they do as scientists to prove this, that, or the other. So it's not even a sure thing yet. So me as a person, I don't just only take one side of science and what they have to say, because there's also another side of science and what they have to say. And it's still, nobody knows what's really going on.
Well,
so
that's actually,
I'm going to have some scientists at our rally to speak on our behalf and at least get some opposite information out there mm-hmm. into the atmosphere so we can feel validated in our beliefs, because there's so much information out there. It's hard to make sense of all of it, but I just know that even if there is or isn't a problem, a tax isn't going to fix it.
Yeah. Well, you are right in saying that science isn't settled, because science is never settled. That's the whole point of science, is it keeps looking for information and to understand things better than previously thought. We actually have one of those scientists that maybe you might want to talk to, Chuck Weiss. He'll be on as our next guest. And we'll be talking more with him about some of these things that I want to run by you. But last week, we really heard some disturbing information about what Governor Kate is currently trying to do to sabotage Timber Unity and a potential walkout by Republicans. And one of the things that our guest Jeff Kropp had said is that Governor Kate has been meeting with big private timber owners around the state, trying to bribe them, his words, trying to bribe them with special exemptions from the carbon legislation, from the damage that the carbon legislation is going to do to their business, to try to get their buy-in. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's really dirty that the state is trying to cut out the middleman and just make a deal with all of these landowners. Hmm. I don't like it. It's really harmful to rural communities and working families. And as Timber Unity, we're of the mindset of all or none. It's not fair that all of these people that have more money than us can make an exemption for themselves and then put the rest of us out of work and displace us and cause us to go through this transition process that they have in this bill. It's not right.
I'm curious, have you heard about any timber or logging companies, the owners that have been approached by Governor Kate to sabotage us?
I have not specifically heard of anybody by name or any type of sabotage, but I do know that they are working with certain landowners and certain timber companies and certain mills for that very thing.
Hmm. Well, as I said, we'll talk
to be
some
honest,
more.
Governor Kate Brown in her meetings said she was really proud that she gave money to one of them for some other thing. So she verbally spoke that to me,
wow,
that she had given money to one of these mills for a special project that she had some set aside money to use. And she was very proud of that. So that led me down a rabbit trail of, who are these people? Why are they getting money from her? Why don't these people want their employees to wear Timber Unity merchandise when she comes and visits them? Why are they outsourcing some of their projects to different states? It's kind of mind-blowing, really, and
yeah,
very disturbing and not fair to
it
us
is. Yeah.
Commoners.
Yeah, well, it is. It's very unfair because it's your money. It's taxes that have been raised with proceeds from the For the Children business tax that passed last year. She's been doling out some of that money. Walking around money is what they used to call it back in the Chicago days. Let's go and take a break there. We'll have more with Angelina Sanchez of Timber Unity coming up. We'll be talking about the Timber Unity Rally. Stay with us. We're talking today to Angelina Sanchez. She is a spokeswoman for Timber Unity. The rally is this Thursday, February 6th, starts at 10 a.m. You are going to want to get there way earlier than 10 a.m. Last time I was there, parking was an absolute bear, and they are expecting more people this time. Trucks will be assembling at either the Salem Fairgrounds or west of Salem over at the Polk County Fairgrounds on 99W, just south of Rickreel. You can find out more by heading to timberunityconvoy.com or on their Facebook page. Just look for Timber Unity. And we'll link all of that up on iSpyRadio.com as well. So, as I said, the Timber Unity Rally is coming up this week. It will. It's still set for 10 a.m. Are there any other details at this point that have been firmed up?
There have been a few things that have been firmed up. I will tell you that we've secured the Kaiser Stadium. So we are pushing all passenger cars and people who are carpooling to go park at the Kaiser Stadium. They have parking for 1,500 passenger cars. We are going to have 12 to 20 commercial buses to move people back and forth from staging areas. So we're going to have 4 to 6 buses, hopefully, at that Kaiser Stadium to move people back and forth from there to the Capitol all day long. We have secured parking for the trucks at Salem Fairgrounds, and we can get 200 to 300 trucks in there. However, everybody has to be decked that's going into that lot. We have the Polk County Fairgrounds secured, and we can probably get 300 to 400 trucks in there. We have some overflow parking in Independence, and we have some overflow parking in Salem. But as far as I'm aware, people are coming from all around the state, even the night before. I heard that there was 50 trucks coming from Pendleton, 50 trucks coming from Klamath Falls, hundreds of trucks coming from the Roseburg area, hundreds of trucks coming from the North Coast area. We're all hoping to meet up on the I-5. We don't have this quite figured out yet, but the Southern Convoy will loop up possibly with the North Convoy and head down that exit on Kaiser Salem Parkway and split off so we can have a record of how many trucks we actually have in the convoy. We're going to try to break a world record. They said that we have to be in a parade of 5 miles long or more. After they do a slow roll from the North Convoy through downtown Portland, which we are going to have hundreds of trucks going through downtown Portland that morning, everybody's going to try to meet up on the I-5 at a particular time to break that world record and then split off and park in Salem and park in Polk County and then bus people from those locations also to the Capitol. And fingers crossed, all goes off without a hitch. We're going to have the speakers start at 10 a.m., opening up with a fabulous lady, Iris, from the Roseburg area, who's going to sing our national anthem, and I'm really excited to hear her.
Yes, that's really cool. Well, you're talking hundreds and maybe even thousands of trucks there. That's astonishing. I mean, that really just gives me goosebumps. We have cousins down in the Myrtle Point area, and I know that they said the last time she really thought that, because she was there when they assembled and they went off, she really thought the trucks just from that area were about a mile or longer. So that's astonishing that you're looking at 5 miles worth of trucks.
It's going to, at least, that's just what we have to have happen to secure the unofficial Guinness Book of World Record title. We have to be in that 5 mile parade, all the trucks as one convoy. The real record is 446 or something like that. The unofficial record is 580 something. We're hoping to blast through that with 1,000 trucks. Mm. I can't really be for sure. I know we have probably 1,500 people committed on our Facebook page and 4,000 people interested, but half of the folks that are coming are just word of mouth. They're not even on Facebook. So trying to coordinate with folks on the ground and the Facebook and make sure everybody's got all their ducks in a row. We're going to make it happen, but it's kind of challenging. I'm even going to have a call this afternoon to try to firm some more information up, but that's where we're planning to head at this time. I will tell you, I got information the other day that a literal manure spreader is coming from Coquille to sit on the Capitol steps. So
oh, my word.
The farmers are mad too. I have combines, tractors, trailered equipment, manure spreader, log trucks, dump trucks, garbage trucks, tow trucks. Everybody's coming to say enough of this oppressive government. We're
yes.
tired of the extreme taxes. We want to vote. Let us vote.
Well, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, having been involved on an active basis with politics since 2009, I can tell you there is nothing more appropriate than a manure spreader being there in front of the Capitol building. Oh, my word. So walk us through.
Somebody said... I'm sorry. Somebody said, are they going to spray manure up there on the steps? And I said, I don't think so. I'm up there on the steps doing the MC for the speaker presentation. So nobody's going to spread manure, but a manure spreader is actually coming. So
usually it's manure that comes out of the building, not usually goes back in. So anyway, walk us through a little bit through the day real quick. I know that you got speakers. As we said, it starts at 10. You're definitely going to get there about 8 or earlier. Just to get to the Capitol building, if you're driving yourself in, what are some activities that you have? Are you having like a voter registration drive, maybe petitions?
We're having a lot of things going on that day. We want to make it an experience. We want to also empower people to speak to their legislators and their senators and their representatives. We're going to have a fantastic speaker list starting at 10. I've got miners, farmers, cattle ranchers, scientists, loggers, foresters, a whole bunch of grassroots people speaking about how this cap and trade will affect them personally. And then we are going to have a tent across the street, and we are going to have a letter writing campaign where we are going to help people write a letter to take to give to their representatives while they're there.
Yes.
We're going to have people set up for voter registration to check and make sure that they're in the system correctly. We're going to have swag booths so people can buy some merchandise and help support the convoy costs that way. We're going to have food. The Marion County Republicans and Adams Ribs are going to be putting on a huge spread to where I believe everybody is going to get fed for free. If anybody wants to donate to the food costs, get a hold of the Marion County Republicans. I'm probably forgetting something, but there's a whole bunch of activities going on. We're going to have 2,000 seedlings. The first 2,000 people will get a free tree to plant at their home. We're going to have a forester walk with the people to go inside of that building and pass out 90 trees with the carbon cycle, the sequestration cycle, whatever is associated with that tree, and physically give them that gift. So it's family friendly. We want everybody to attend. We want everybody to be heard. We want everybody to know that they have the opportunity to speak out on this thing. I even heard a rumor, which I don't know if it's true or not, because you know how politics are. It's all rumors. But they are possibly going to open up the public testimony part of House Bill 15, okay, Senate Bill 1530 now, for the public to speak against that on that same day. That's what I heard. So if that is true, we're going to have people going inside to give testimony too.
Wow. Well, that is awesome that you guys are heading into the building. It's wonderful to hear that, because that's all part of it is you got to take that more active role. The time to be silent is absolutely at an end. But just being there to give a physical presence to your opposition to these attacks on your way of life, I think that's so hugely important.
And if I may, we're fighting against them with our voices, and that's been successful, but we're not going to be able to continue winning that way. We actually have to fight with our votes.
That's right.
And they go and they tell us that the voter system is flawed. You can't trust it. You don't have enough numbers. All the while, the opposition is building their army of voters to outvote us. So we cannot accept that narrative that's going around that our votes don't matter. We can't trust the process because they're getting more voters registered. They're out registering us so they can win at the ballot box. So we have to really be proactive this time instead of just standing up
and saying
enough is enough. We have to get people registered to vote and actually voting and actually not believing the narrative that it doesn't matter because it does. That's how they win. They trick us. So we have to get people to the ballot box.
That's exactly right.
We have the numbers.
That's exactly right. And I really truly believe that 2020 is the year that we start throwing off these people that think that they are our overlords rather than our representatives. Angelina Sanchez with Timber Unity, their website again, timberunityconvoy.com. We'll link all of that up on iSpyRadio.com. Angelina, thanks so much for your time, and we'll see you next Thursday.
That sounds good. See you guys there. Thank you.
And welcome back. For those of you heading to the Timber Rally this Thursday, February 6th at 10 a.m., or if you can't make it and you're skeptical about global warming, well, we want to give you some intellectual ammunition. Because once you say, you know, I just don't really believe in global warming, the other side will try to beat you down with science. Although it's more marketing than science and is at best selective science because they ignore science that clearly runs against their beliefs, which disproves global warming. To do that, I'd like to welcome Chuck Weiss back to the show. Chuck is a meteorologist who does a great job debunking global warming hysteria. Chuck, it is great to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Yes, it has been. It's good to talk to you, Mark, and what a great time to discuss this.
Oh, absolutely. We need to. So it seems sometimes, though, that we're at loggerheads with this global warming debate. You got true believers on one side. They say the argument is all settled. All the evidence clearly shows global warming is caused by human activity. And then on the other side, you've got skeptics, and all scientists should be skeptics, say it isn't settled, that CO2 is not causing warming. So when you personally talk to people who believe global warming is real, how do you approach it? And are you able to change their minds?
Yes, actually, we've had a lot of success. Once you enlighten people as to what's happened and why things are being told to them the way that they're being told today, suddenly the light goes off and they begin to realize, hey, this is not something that's just ironclad, open and shut case like they have been told by the establishment. And what I tell them is, the founding principles from atmospheric science years ago had already taken a look at all these greenhouse gases and determined how they work in the atmosphere. And the conclusions back then were very sound, and they determined that CO2 is a greenhouse gas of only secondary significance in the atmosphere. It doesn't control the climate because the hydrological cycle dwarfs it and overpowers it, and it self-regulates its presence in the atmosphere by its own temperature properties or thermodynamic properties, as we call them in science. And that work was established a long time ago, and it was all sound work. It was done post-Einstein after quantum mechanics were invented or discovered, I should say, and then used for problems like this. And the only thing that came along after these studies that were done that were part of the founding work in atmospheric science was the invention of these climate models. They call them climate models. But what they really are, Mark, is they're just, they are weather forecast models reconfigured to do large time integrations. And they're very unphysical. We don't know near enough about the climate to be able to get the answers that we need to really tell what's going on. And they contradict getting the spurious warming predictions, what the founding principles were. And the problem with that is, you need the data to determine which is right. Were the founding principles right, or were these failed climate models correct? And when you look at the real temperature data, the unmanipulated data, that's going to be an important thing to bring up, too. When you look at the unmanipulated data, it shows clearly that CO2 is not controlling the climate, and these models have failed in their predictions, and they need to be discarded, and they certainly shouldn't be used to make any sort of public policy with.
No.
And so that's where we're at with this right now, and the data shows very clearly that the warming is not occurring at near the rate the models predicted it would. There are breaks in warming with cyclic warming and cooling, and the most appalling thing that's happened since these models came out and they began to discover the predictions aren't correct is now they went back and said, well, if the models are diverging away from what the actual climate is doing, we'll just adjust the records and make it look like that the climate is doing what the models predict. And so they went back into climate records. And I'm talking about NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and also NASA GIS, which is the Goddard Institute for Space Studies. That's run by Gavin Schmidt. And these people went in and they manipulated the climate records and erased important cooling trends, which were well established in the earlier record, to make it look like as CO2 went up, so did the temperature, and the two rise lock and step with each other, which is simply false. And they got caught doing that. They got caught doing that. And Tony Heller, who has been keeping track of this, at you can see his work at realclimatescience.com. Just Google that or put it in your address bar. It'll take you straight to the site. And the latest one he just did showed how corrupt this whole thing has become, how the data is now manipulated, and the public is just being outright lied to about what the actual climate is doing. It is not warming near at the rate that these people say that it is, and the warming is in the real record cyclical, which means if we take a look at everything, we are not seeing anything going on in the climate today that hasn't gone on for millions of years. If you go back in ice core records or geological records or even the short-term records, everything has been cyclic. And then they take the part of the record that shows warming and they say this is unequivocal proof it was warming, and they erase all the cooling trends to make it look like CO2 is the cause. It's a complete fraud. Yeah. And you just can't do science this way. So the public's been betrayed. And how much money has this costed everybody? We have wasted billions of dollars on these climate models. I call them Oz machines because remember the movie The Wizard of Oz?
Yes, yes.
You know, the great and powerful wizard used a holistic machine that portrayed a monster to scare Dorothy and Toto. Well, the climate models are very similar. They use them to give spurious outputs of warming that they can't verify, and then they say that this is factual, and we can rely on this to make public policy with, and they scare the living daylights out of people with their results and the claims that they make. Just take a look at how they've manipulated the minds of our youth today. Silly climate marches that are going on. It's the public education system that's doing this.
Yes, absolutely.
And they're doing it because they're money grubbing. It's all about how much money this has made them and what they perceive it to make them in the future.
Well, you know, we got about a minute here in this segment. Real quick, you've got these people that are changing the data. I mean, that I think is just absolutely reprehensible, and using that to lie to people. Why is it that nobody has ever held responsible when that data has changed like that?
I don't know. I really think that there should be criminal prosecution of people who deliberately falsified the actual records of climate to try to sell a political point like what's being done now. And I've brought this up to people and they go, you know, I have a hard time believing that we could be deceived by academia. Why would they do this? Well, I've told them it's really all about money. And then,
yes,
as I've been telling this, the latest story, the latest revelation comes out by a Harvard University chemistry professor by the name of Charles Lieber, who just got arrested by the State Department or by the FBI for engaging in espionage with the Chinese. He's selling chemistry secrets right out of Harvard University to the Chinese. And what was the motivation for doing this? It appears on the face of it, it's all about money. So it's a terrible thing that's happening to our academic institutions. They've become politicized. Yes. They have had professors now, or they have professors in there now, who are interested in getting research money for this, research money for that. And the new truth seems to be emerging that's relative to the flow of money, not to absolute truth in science. And that's just terribly devastating to all of these institutions. It's got to be stopped.
It absolutely does. It's a betrayal of science itself, I think. And it's amazing that people will go to jail for altering their taxes to save a few hundred dollars on taxes, and yet here people are changing actual data that spends billions in taxpayer dollars. It's just absolutely asinine that nobody's being held responsible for that. Okay, everyone stay with us. We're going to take a break here. Coming back, we'll have more with Chuck Weiss. Coming up, we'll be talking about some of the shenanigans that Governor Kate has been doing. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Chuck Weiss. He is a meteorologist trained at Oregon State University. He's also a retired airline pilot, and he's a huge debunker of man-made global warming. And Chuck, with our last guest there, we had talked with Angelita Sanchez of Timber Unity, and we had briefly touched on some of the I really think sabotage that Governor Kate is up to. She's trying to sabotage the timber unity movement. And I really hope this makes our audience angry, because it should. I think these kinds of shenanigans that are happening behind the scenes, I think it really ought to tick people off. And last week, Jeff Kropp had told us about some of these. And one of the things that he had mentioned was that Governor Kate has been meeting secretly with some of these big private timber owners around the state and trying to bribe them with special exemptions from the carbon tax legislation that she's trying to push through, just basically to try to get their buy-in, or maybe that they won't revolt like they ought to. Have you heard anything about this?
Well, I've heard bits and pieces, both on your show and from others as well. And it's just deplorable how these people have to engage, what sort of behavior they have to engage in to try to get their way. They were defeated on HB 2020 soundly by Timber Unity, the truckers, and everyone else in the state, especially in rural areas, that just knew how devastating that carbon tax was going to be if it passed. And you would think that after the protests that ended its defeat back in June of this of last year, that the Democrats would have learned a lesson from this and realized, you know, if you guys want to do this, and I don't care if they believe in global warming or not. I mean, it's obvious they claim that they do, and they claim humans cause this climate change business. I don't care if you believe it or not. What they're selling, what they sold with HB 2020, and what they're going to sell with LC 19 is based on a complete fraud and lie. Because it doesn't matter, even if CO2 was causing some of this climate change that they say that it's causing, and there's no proof of it. But let's just give them the benefit of the doubt and say that, okay, it did, or it is causing some. Oregon's percentage of global emissions are 0.18% of the global total. In other words, 0.0001%. If you wiped out all of Oregon's emissions, which is physically impossible to do, which would be that 0.18%, you would not have any measurable change in the atmospheric CO2 concentration, thereby not making any difference to these phony and failed climate models they rely on to make public policy with. So it's a complete waste of time. It will accomplish nothing with the climate. It'll accomplish nothing but cause hardship to everybody that's going to be affected by it. And these are all of Oregon's businesses. It's the rural community. It's the truckers. It's Timber Unity. Those people had it right last year, and I'm glad that they want to come back and fight Kate on this year, because she, if she had any inkling of being honest about this at all, any inkling, the right thing to do would be to tell the taxpayer and the citizens of the state, you know what, I don't agree with Timber Unity, I don't agree with any of you people, but let's let the public decide on this. Put it out for a vote.
Yes.
And if you did that, I am positive, with the information we could provide, and I know that Timber Unity is well aware of the fact that this is based on fraud, this would never pass. And this is why I'm so disgusted with them, because she knows this. She has to know that it wouldn't pass if they put it out for a vote. And yet, this is the kind of behavior they're engaging in now. They're simply not going to take no for an answer, and they're telling all the people at Timber Unity, they're telling all the truckers, they're telling rural Oregonians, they're telling the poorest of Oregonians, we don't care what this bill does to you, we're going to cram it down your throat, and you're just going to have to live with it.
Yeah.
Well, not over my dead body, you know, not over anybody else's. I think this is the time it's come to stand up to this governor and tell her, no, we're not going to do this. And not only have we heard that she's going behind the scenes trying to undermine Republican efforts to stop this, we also heard that Jenny Burdick now is introducing new legislation that she wants to do at the beginning of the session, where she's going to change the rules and say, you Republicans can no longer, if you walk out, we don't need you, we'll just go ahead and pass it anyway, because we're going to reduce the amount it takes to have a quorum or get something passed out of legislature. So they've opened all the stops, and they don't care what the opinions of anybody is about this except for themselves, and they're determined to shove it down our throats. And like I said, Mark, you'll get nothing for this. Nobody gets a thing for it. The only people that get benefit from this are the recipients of the spoils, and those are the universities helping Kate Brown with this, while putting out their bad climate research, and all the other people that she wants to grow big government with. The private sector is going to get totally messed up by this, and it's going to cause a lot of damage to Oregon businesses.
Well, one of the things that passed last year, again, over Republican opposition, was the gross receipts tax, also known as the business sales tax. And they passed this because they said, well, it's for the children. It's more school funding. Except now, one of the other things that she is rumored to be out there doing is using proceeds from that tax that was for the children, and she's out there handing that out to people that are supporting this carbon cap and trade, or withholding it from people who should be getting it, but because of their opposition to the cap and trade, they're just not getting the money. That was, and again, all of that was passed because it was for the children. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's the same old strategy. It's twist the arms of people that you know are going to be your most relevant opponents in this battle that could walk out and do the things that happened last June and try to get them to conform. But people just have to realize, I think it's time that we just put an end to this nonsense of going around and through the back doors to try to shove something down somebody's throat, because what she's proposing, it's nothing more than an expensive energy sales tax. Like I said, it'll do nothing to the climate or CO2 levels. Absolutely nothing. And they know that. And yet they don't care. They're just going to say, well, we think it does, and so we want it. We're going to shove it down your throat. So they just, you know, people just need to push back on this. And I think it's time that the Republicans are going to have to do exactly what they did in June. They're going to have to walk out, and hopefully she's not going to get these rules changed to where they can still pass it, even if Republicans walk out. But the Timber Unity people and everybody else also do the same thing, converge on them. We just got to let them know we don't want this at all. And the very most you could expect to get out of it is put it out to a vote for the people. And that's what should have been done a long time ago if they were really being fair about what the opinion of other Oregonians are on this. But they know that they can't win that way. So what do? They resort to these completely dishonest tactics.
Yes.
And that's how the whole climate record has been sold to us anyway. You could look at the history of that, Mark, and it takes us back to the year 2007 when Ted Kulongoski fired one of the best climatologists in the country. His name was George Taylor.
Yes,
and the reason why they got rid of George because George wasn't going to lie about the climate. And they wanted somebody to put in there that was going to agree that these climate models can work and that they're producing good results. They had to get rid of anybody who could put out any skeptical research that actually was honest. So they got rid of him, and Kulongoski gave Oregon State University several million dollars to develop this, what they call the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute. And since that institute was developed and the money was given to it, we haven't gotten anything close to good climatological records out of the state of Oregon. We've got nothing but propaganda and research papers done by these people to keep telling us CO2 is changing the climate, and it's all a bunch of bunk. It's false.
It truly is. Okay, we are up against the clock. Everyone stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Chuck Weiss after this. It's all about climate skepticism today here on the iSpy Radio Show, at least the second half anyway. Just a reminder real quick, in case you missed it, Timber Unity Rally is coming up this Thursday, February 6th. It's starting at 10 a.m. You're going to want to get there way earlier than 10 a.m. I'm talking like 6, 7, 8 o'clock because they are talking about hundreds, if not 1,000 or more trucks that are going to be clogging the streets there of Salem. So I've run the numbers here, Chuck. And man-made CO2, as I've said before on the show, is 1 in 85,000 molecules. In the atmosphere, man-made CO2. Oregon's portion of that, as you said, was 0.18%. So if you multiply those two numbers together, you come up with 0.000021%, 0.00001%, 0.00021%, 0.00021%. So if we get rid of Oregon's CO2 tomorrow, I can't imagine this is going to have any impact.
It won't. You wouldn't be able to measure it. And not only is the portion that Oregon emits small, but there's been new research done about this from Dr. Ed Berry. And Ed Berry's research, which is valid, it was published, and I followed Ed's, and I followed everything that he's done. The truth of the matter is the IPCC would tell us that 100% of the increase in atmospheric CO2 is driven by human emissions, and that's false.
Yes.
Ed's work shows that nature is actually driving most of the total because the amount in the atmosphere is temperature dependent. And if the climate warms some like it has been warming, more CO2 goes in by nature. The portion from humans is only 4.4 to maybe as much as 10%. It's in that range of the total in the atmosphere.
Right.
So out of 410 parts per million, we put in hardly any more than about 18 parts per million. So even if you plugged all that into their failed climate models,
That seriously
reduces what the effect of the warming is from that alone. And now consider the fact that like you said, Oregon's emissions are so small you couldn't even measure them. So what? Yeah. It makes absolutely no sense to do this. It's just a big fraud.
That's right.
It's an expensive energy sales tax.
So if we pass this, what's this going to cost the average person? I mean, and what does it accomplish anything?
It accomplishes nothing except you're going to pay and give a lot of your hard-earned money away to state government. I'm told you could expect as much as a price of a gallon of gasoline to go up by 74 cents. Your natural gas heating bill is going to go up. Your electric bill is going to go up. And
sure.
Think about it, Mark. This is a carbon tax. It's not going to be just limited to fuels. They can reach out into many other areas of the economy because we live in a carbon-based world. Everything is constructed from carbon to some degree or not. The next thing they'll do is start saying we got to start taxing goods and services because they use carbon. There's just no limit to the way they can construct legislation like this that will stop them from just continuing to gouge you. And
yes.
The poor get hurt the most, but Oregon businesses are really going to be hurt, and it's going to make them uncompetitive with other states across the nation that don't have this sort of insanity.
Yes.
So I really encourage people to show up at this rally and tell Kate Brown and her Democrat pals, once and for all, we don't like getting defrauded, and we're not going to give in to you taxing us like you want to do. This is
That's
a fraud.
Right. That's right. Real quick, LC-19, that's the new bill. It used to be 2020. I haven't read it yet, but the main takeaway is that the carbon tax will only be applied to begin with in bigger cities and then eventually get to the rural areas. But to me, you know, the real damning aspect of this is not who gets taxed, but who gets all that tax money. What are your thoughts?
Well, the Oregon State University is going to get some of the money. So all the universities will. They're right in this with Kate Brown. They have been doing dirty deeds, lying to the public about what the effect of the climate has been because they have been getting research money from the government and the state. And if they help Kate Brown, which they've been willing to do, putting out false information about the climate, pass this sort of thing, they're part of the problem because they get some of the money. And, you know, a lot of people have told me that by the fact the university would do this. Well, just take a look at what's going on in the news if you don't believe me about this, because now we have a chemistry professor that engaged in espionage with the Chinese government, selling our chemistry secrets. So it does happen, and it's happening right before our eyes, and it's time we just shut this down, Mark. I really think so.
Oh, absolutely, and I think it's a massive conflict of interest. Here, OSU is providing the data that gives the government the reason to give you that money in the first place. I just think that's a massive conflict of interest. Chuck, unfortunately, we are up against the clock. I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Well, you're very welcome, Mark, and we hope to see you down there in Salem on February 6th. It's going to be a big day, I hope.
Oh, it will. We will be there. We'll see you then.
All right.
This Thursday, February 6th, 10 a.m., Timber Unity Rally at the Capitol Steps. Let your voice be heard and give a physical presence to your opposition to the Salem Democrats' plan to take $1 billion out of Oregon's economy for no good reason. And if you can't be there, let them know another way. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.